Lord Jesus, we honor you. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming into Jerusalem. Thank you for going to the cross, for your life, your suffering, your death, your resurrection on our behalf. And the promise we have because of that, of resurrection and eternal life as well. We just give you glory and praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight. Just invite you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. You and me. Good words. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us this evening?
I do. Last week, I shared about a girl that I'm aware of that had been trafficked,
yes,
and they were looking for her. And you had so much faith that you didn't even pray for her. Well, she was rescued and found on Thursday.
Oh,
so, praise the Lord.
Was really that she was found, but she was found. So we were joking last week that maybe I'd have a happy testimony to share, but we weren't like very convinced, honestly.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, I got the text on Thursday and was like, oh my goodness, wait till I tell this.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, if I'd have prayed, maybe they'd have found it Wednesday.
You know. the serious, like, it is a huge praise, but there is a known syndrome, and it didn't happen to her, where she returned to her captors on her own. So this is actually the second time that she was rescued. Mm. So the real prayer request, like, in all seriousness, is that she gets healing to the point where she doesn't, that she doesn't run.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah.
So Lord, hear our hearts and hear our cry as we pray for complete healing and restoration, and may she find peace and contentment in you and fulfillment of life in you and following you and her family and friends, and health and healing and a life that honors you. Let it happen to me. In Jesus' name. Who else has a testimony? I learned to pray for people.
I just praise the Lord for all the spring flowers and just really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very thankful for spring and that it came like the kind of spring I wanted. I was even able to take three of my grandchildren fishing yesterday. Life doesn't get a lot better than that. We caught fish, and you should have heard the excitement.
You pray for Jeff. He sprained his ankle yesterday, okay, running a half marathon, and it's huge.
Oh, dear. He's
going tonight with it up.
Yeah, it's no fun. So, Lord, we lift Jeff to you and pray for his ankle for healing and the reduction of swelling and normalcy back to that joint. We give him praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray for gifts and surprises, checks in the mail, finding money, etc., etc. I got an email this week that the settlement company overcharged Nancy and I $45 in the settlement of Mennonite Church Road, and they'll be mailing us a check. So, so we're thankful. We'll take $45 when it comes. Mm-hmm. They could find that mistake every week, I'd be okay. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we give you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, a favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have enough to give to the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Encouraging words, so important to know who we are, sons and daughters of God. All right. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices to make throughout. Anyone interested in the children's story? Well, tonight I'd like to do something just a wee tad different. Okay? So come with me. Careful not to trip over the cords. They're going to be coming in and doing, of course, coming in and doing. When they come in and doing, stand up and cheer.
Hey, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Tell you about. You weren't expecting them to stand up and cheer, were you? Imagine what it would have been like on that first day when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. And the people that were with him, the crowd that was with him at the beginning, were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest heaven, just like you said, coming in. And as they came, more people gathered and more people joined in until nearly everybody in Jerusalem was celebrating and singing Hosanna to God in the highest because Jesus, the Son of David, had come. Isn't that awesome? All right. So what I want you to remember, just like we
welcome Jesus in here, we need to welcome Jesus into our lives, each one of us, in that same way. See him as the Savior. Hosanna is the word, is a Hebrew word that means save. So the Son of David saves. Jesus saves is what we were saying. Okay? So let's welcome Jesus into our lives every day, all day.
I just got a text that someone I've been praying for has accepted Jesus.
Hosanna to the Son of David, right? Okay, so we were celebrating while the angels in heaven were celebrating something else. All right, that's awesome. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice that Jesus has come, that he's come into Jerusalem, that he comes into our lives, and the life of one who carves the crown. We rejoice with you. Father, I pray for these children. I pray that they'll welcome Jesus every day. Jeremy just wants to go to the presentation. Export? You mean export or I want him?
Yeah, you want him.
There it is. Thank you. I'd be lost with that. This isn't it. Yeah, this is it. I thought it kind of okay. So, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. This was not uncommon for Jesus. Crowds gathered around Jesus. When Jesus came, people showed up. And they all had their reasons. Some of them were good reasons. Some of them were not so good reasons. But they showed up. And so Jesus was leaving Jericho, and he was headed toward Jerusalem, as we will see. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. Now, there's not much else in that day that blind men can do, except sit by the roadside and beg and hope that someone will drop some kind of coin into their cup or into their bowl or into their hand so that they can eke out a living of some kind. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted. Yeah, when you're blind, you can't see distance, right? So Jesus is coming by. They're hearing the people talk. I doubt anybody told them, hey, blind guys, Jesus is on his way. I think they overheard the talking of other people because blind people would have been basically ignored. Like, how often do we walk past people that are begging and ignore them? We don't have that many beggars around us, but there are countries and societies where beggars virtually line the streets, and that's the way it probably was in Israel at this time. There were a lot of beggars. There were a lot of blind people, so there wasn't much they could do for them. So they don't know if Jesus is fairly close or if he's far away, but they want to be heard. So they use their outside voices. They're outside. They should. They shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. I don't think they said it just once. I think they said it again and again and again because they were desperate. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, the addressing of the Lord as the Son of David is important. Keep it in mind. We're going to hear that again as we go into the story. It's about three times in this story that we're going to hear, Lord, Son of David. And then this time, it's have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. Okay, here's these blind men being a nuisance. Jesus is coming. It's an important day. There's a dignitary coming into town, and we got these filthy beggars, blind people, making a ruckus. So we need them to quiet down. So the crowd says, be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were desperate. I'm sorry. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Trying to get that through clear. Jesus stopped and called to them. That's a powerful statement. Jesus has a crowd of people around him, a large crowd of people around him, people who are seeking him, people who are waiting to hear his message for the day, people who are waiting to be touched and healed. But here's these two blind beggars on the side of the road calling out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them. If we're desperate for the Lord and we call out to him, he will stop for us. Be persistent. Pays off. Okay. And then Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't that interesting? If you saw two blind men on the side of the road, and you were Jesus, and they called out to you, and you stopped, don't you think you'd know what they want? But Jesus wanted to hear from them, what do you want from me? They might have wanted a coin. You know, maybe they had a sick mother at home. Who knows? But Jesus stopped and he focused on them. And he got to the heart of their need. He didn't project what he thought they should want onto them. He allowed them to tell him what they needed, what they desired from him. And God's waiting to hear from us what we need, what our desire is. Why do we want him to stop? Why do we want his attention? We need to let our request be made known to him. And then they responded. They said, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. We're going to see something after a bit. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. Their spiritual sight was just fine. they could see and recognize the Son of David, the Lord. The one who could meet their need, the one who could answer their heart's cry, the one that could restore their physical sight. They saw that clear as day. And so they said, Lord, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Isn't that something? Touched their eyes. Measuring two fingers on each hand. Touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. Now, it was a large crowd plus two. They received their sight, and the first thing that they could do is they could see where they were going, and they could see their Lord, and they could follow him. Not because they heard the voices of the crowd, but because they could see his feet come up off the ground and go back down on the ground, one step after the other, and they could follow along. First time in their lives, they could see. And the first thing they did with their sight was choose to follow Jesus, the one who had healed them and had changed their lives. That's the first story. And it plays a part when we come into this next story. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, okay, Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, that's just outside, maybe a quarter mile outside of Jerusalem. Okay? And so they're here in this village, and Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Wait a minute. If they're tied, they have owners, Lord. You want me to just go grab a donkey and its colt and bring it to you? If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. I mean, that would be like car theft. Okay, this is our mode of transportation. And you want me to just go grab a pair and bring them back to you. Lord, thou shalt not steal. Didn't you read that? In fact, I think you wrote that. Yes, he read it. Yes, he honored it. And yes, he knew what he was doing and what he was saying. And so if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and they will send them right away. Isn't that something, how he knew that? This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it had been prophesied that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem, or the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem as the conquering king of Israel, riding on a donkey, not a white stallion, a donkey. Common means of transportation that everybody had, I mean, nearly. And Jesus knew that prophecy and knew it needed to be fulfilled, and he did that. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. And in other gospels, in each of the four gospels, this story is told. It's a little different in each one. John is especially different. And I kind of been preaching from John and thought I was going to stay with John. And then I read Matthew and his, and I liked it better, so I came back to Matthew. And because it had the blind beggar story at the beginning. Some of the others had Jesus when he was anointed with the perfume, just prior to that, or just after. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Oh, what I started to say in reference to some of the other Gospels is it's either Mark or Luke, or maybe both of them, said that somebody did ask, what are you doing? Why are you taking them? And they told them just what Jesus told them to say. Okay, no problem. One of them, Jesus had said, tell them to let them have them and I'll return. Of course, they did. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Cloaks in the aisleway. Kind of made a pile. That's okay. Make a softer footstep. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, here's Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And as he approaches Jerusalem, the crowd gets larger and larger. And people take off their outer garment, lay it on the ground for the donkey to ride on. This is what you would do when the king was coming into town. You would make a soft, clean spot for his beast of burden to walk on. And then the branches, some translations talk about palm branches. And the significance of palm branches is that prior to the time of Jesus in Jerusalem, they had been under Roman occupation for a number of years, and other countries had occupied them prior to that. And it was during the time of the Maccabees that you read about in the Apocrypha that Israel last had their independence. And the symbol, the national symbol on the back of their coins was a palm branch. And so a palm branch had political significance to the Israelites. It was their last time of independence. And so when they would cut palm branches and wave palm branches or lay palm branches on the road in front of the donkey, they were signifying that they were anticipating a new age of independence from Rome. And they were welcoming the king to come into Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, and get rid of the Romans. Overthrow them, run them out, give us our independence. They didn't realize that they were blind. They couldn't see what God was about. They thought they had perfect vision. They thought they knew the scriptures. They had interpreted them. And as we know, looking at it now, they interpreted them wrongly. We want to be careful when we interpret scriptures, especially as it relates to the future, that we not be dogmatic about how we interpret it. That we not be so set in our ways that when it comes and turns out different than what we anticipated, that we miss seeing the Lord in it. That's what happened to the Jewish church, to the Jewish believers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the zealots, each one. Sadducees. They missed it. They knew what they were looking for. They knew that the throne of David would be restored and that a descendant of David would sit on it forever. God had promised. So when they cried out, Son of David had significance. And listen, they spread their cloaks and cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And they didn't say it just once. They said it again and again and again. And so here's this cacophony of sound reverberating off the city walls. We did it when we came in with the children. You joined us. You got a taste of what that was like. Just a small taste. Imagine thousands of people gathered in this area and shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. It was a glorious time. It was truly a triumphal entry. It was also the day that the Passover lamb would have been chosen, that was going to be offered as a sacrifice on the Passover. When Israel first in Egypt sacrificed a lamb, took its blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the door, so that the death angel would pass over. This was the day that they were to choose that lamb. And they chose Jesus, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. They didn't know it, had no clue. They were blind spiritually. They thought those two beggars on the side of the road were blind. Didn't realize they had clear spiritual eyesight. They recognized the Son of David when he came in their blindness. But with all their physical sight, the Jewish leaders missed him. The Jewish people didn't recognize him by and large. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Blind men recognized him. Lord, Son of David, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They had fuzzy vision at best. They saw a prophet from Nazareth. They didn't see the Son of David. But Nazareth, that town where people said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? No prophet ever came from Nazareth. This is the question that every person in every age has to answer. Who is this? Who is this? Jesus. See, even a historic figure. You know, scholars today ask, did Jesus exist in Nazareth? Did he ever live? Or is he just a myth? Well, they pretty well determined that yes, a man by the name of Jesus from Nazareth lived and went about Israel and did some things, but they don't recognize him as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world or of their lives. But we have to answer that question for ourselves once and for all and maintain that answer throughout our lives. Who is Jesus? And unless we say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, we've missed it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the Savior of my soul, and I welcome you. Hosanna, Son of David. You save, Son of David. Come. You are welcome in my life. You are welcome in my heart. And now that you've given me sight, now that I see this truth,
I will follow you every day of my life, in every action, in every thought, in every word. I, like you, am going to do what I see my Father doing and say what I hear my Father saying. Because you, Lord Jesus, make it possible for me to hear and see spiritually. That's where we need to come. He's not some prophet from Galilee. Historically, he was, but no, that's not his identity. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. So when this prophet from Nazareth came into Jerusalem, that everybody was looking to be the one who would set Israel free from Roman occupation, the one who would give them their political independence again, instead of going to the palace of Herod or of Pilate, he went to the temple. Jesus was not about politics. He told Pilate, if my people were of this world, then would my people, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my people fight. He was about the spiritual well-being of Israel. He was about the spiritual freedom of the world. And so he went to the center of worship. And he turned it topsy-turvy. He said, it was supposed to be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. You have made it a place of business. You have made it into legalism and not relationship, and I'll have nothing of it. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple. You don't understand what that means unless you've studied Jewish religion. No one who was unclean came into the temple. Women had to be on the outer courts, the outside. You had to be a Jewish man, and you had to have good standing to enter the temple. And blind people and lame people were unclean. They were not welcome in the temple. And here Jesus is. And they come to him in the temple, at the temple. Now, if you're a Pharisee and you're keeping the law, you're looking at how Jesus is going to respond to these unclean people coming and desecrating our temple. Surely he's going to turn them away. But no, he healed them. Throughout the Old Testament, you were not allowed to touch a leper because you would become unclean. If one of those blind or lame people had come and touched one of the Pharisee would have been declared unclean and would have had to leave the temple and go away from it. But Jesus stayed at the temple and healed them, touched their eyes for the blind before he came into Jerusalem. And instead of Jesus becoming unclean, the unclean became clean. You can do that when you're the spotless Son of God. You're the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You can do that. And now he's given us that ministry of reconciliation. We don't become unclean by associating with unclean people. We become unclean by participating in unclean activities and thoughts. So if our heart's right, if our mind's right, if our relationship with the Lord is fresh and vibrant, we spread cleanness. We don't take on uncleanness. We bring healing and reconciliation, just like Jesus did. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. Ah, just who does he think he is? Ah, this can't be. Not in my church. You know, there are a number of churches in the world. They're just a couple funerals away from really becoming a vibrant church. You know, that attitude, not in my church. Once they're gone, that church has a whole lot better chance of being the church Jesus wants it to be. Let's not fall into that category. But you hear the children in the temple court shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David." They recognize Jesus as the Son of David, the descendant of David, who was heir to the throne of Israel. That's who the Son of David is. The firstborn, right down the line, is the heir to the throne. And Jesus was the firstborn of Mary and Joseph. Both, you follow the genealogy, goes back to David. They recognized him as who he was. It was the children who had clear vision. Coming in shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the Pharisees recognized what they were saying. They knew. They were saying, "This is the King of Israel." And the Pharisees were saying, "Over my dead body." And they were right. Their bodies were dead. They just didn't know it yet. How sad. How sad. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they ask him. "Yes," Jesus answered. Oh, that had to really burn. That had to really curl their toes. I mean, how upset can you get? You're already indignant. And then, "Don't you know what's going on, Jesus?"
Yeah.
And then he says, "Have you never read?" Wait a minute. "Jesus, you know who you're talking to? We know the law inside and out, upside down, and we actually wrote some extras to it to make sure people get it right. And you're asking us, have we read?" "Yes," Jesus replied, "have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, called forth your praise?" Have you never read? What a politician. Yeah. Triumph of the Lamb. Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Just gently points out the error. Haven't you ever read the mouth of babes and infants? What kind of praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. He was done. He said his peace, made his entrance, did the healing, that the Father had ordained would happen. He saw what the Father was doing. He heard what the Father was saying. He did it. He said it. And he left. He was done. The children recognized him. The blind and the lame recognized him. The religious and the politically correct didn't realize they were blind and unclean and rejected. And he laughed. Don't be laughed. He wants to stop. Wants to give us what we want. And when we desperately cry out for him, I want to be healed. I want to be clean. I want to be yours. He'll touch us and heal us. And we can follow him. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you. Son of David. I pray that we will truly see who you are. That we'll welcome you with our whole hearts, our whole mind, spirit, soul, and body. That we'll follow you close every day and every moment of our lives, honoring and pleasing you. And finding the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory in your Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. God bless you with an awesome name. And you can.